All right, it's a schus to be together at the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Av. There's nothing more special than to learn Torah together. And especially learn to Torah with Mesiras Nefesh, to learn Torah later at night after a long day. You know, obviously, Mishenichnas Av, Mematim B'Simcha. When you enter into the month of Av, we diminish our Simcha, we lower our Simcha. First of all, just want to give over a beautiful Torah of the Kotzker Rebbe. Maybe some of you have heard before, but I think about this Torah almost every day of my life. And that line, Mishenichnas Av, Mematim B'Simcha. When we enter into Av, we diminish our Simcha. So it's a Gemara, actually. It's a Gemara in Tainus. And it contrasts to another line that you all know that's more famous. What's the more famous line? Mishenichnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha. Right? And the Gemara goes, Kashem Mishenichnas Av, Mematim B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha. Contrast the two, just like we diminish our simcha and Av, we increase our simcha and Adar. It might be the flip the way around, I don't recall exactly, but you get the point. The Kotzker Rebbe, Menachem Mendel of Kotz, says the most beautiful Torah on that Gemara. He says, we learn from this Gemara that a Yid, a Jew, should always be besimcha, should always be happy. How do we see it? Because the Gemara tells us, when we enter Av, tonight we entered Av, the 9 days, time of tsaras, of tragedy. It doesn't say completely obliterate your simcha, that you should have no happiness. Mishenichnas Av, mematin. What's mematin mean? Diminish, make less, but there still should be some. You should still be happy, just a little bit less happy. What it also means, if you're diminishing, it means you had happiness prior, right? You can only diminish if you already had. So I had happiness, now I'm diminishing a little. Mishenichnas Adar, what does it say? It doesn't say start being happy. Marbim, increase your happiness. I mean, I had happiness already, now I'll even have more. So Kotzker Rebbe says, the Gemara is teaching us, there are times when we increase our happiness. You had a chasana, incredible, I'm dancing, right? It's a lot of simcha. There are times when we decrease our happiness, such as the 9 days and the time of tragedy and Tisha B'Av, but we should always be happy. And that happiness, what does that mean? On Tisha B'Av, when I'm sitting on the floor, I should be happy. Happiness doesn't mean I'm dancing and smiling from ear to ear. Happiness is a feeling of being content and understanding Hashem runs the world and everything in the end is good. And we know that we have the Ribbono Shel'Olam who's our Tatan Emel, who's our Father, and I know that it's okay. So I could be content and besimcha every moment, bepnimus, inside me. So we should be zoich, even though we're entering to Av and we have less happiness and we have certain halachos that we keep, we should always be besimcha. Don't ever forget that. And therefore, no more special way to start Av than to learn Torah together. Because ki lekach toiv nasati lechem torasi atazov, with nothing better than Torah. And Pekud Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilev, Torah brings us happiness, the Pasuk tells us. And therefore, hopefully, this will bring us happiness, as we always should be happy. And maybe we need more happiness these days when we focus on tragedy. It's beautiful to learn Torah. You know, in fact, Bezer Hashem is Baruch, we're going to have, you know, we know one of the halachos of the 9 days is we're not allowed to have meat or wine, except for Shabbos Kodesh. But one of the exceptions to that rule is to make a siyum. And we're going to have actually 4 siyumim here in camp, so tomorrow night, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, the last 3 days brought down, you're not supposed to have Zayin Ches, and obviously Tisha B'Av itself. So the last 3 days, you're not supposed to have meat, even with a siyum, you're not supposed to make, but every other day, we're pretty much making a siyum here. So some ask, is that like the right hashkafa? Halachically, for sure, it's okay, but philosophically, should you be making a siyum to like get around the halacha? It sounds a little bit strange. Maybe we shouldn't be doing that. A lot of big tzaddikim explain that to make a siyum through a celebration of Torah and celebrating Torah and bringing therefore more Torah into our days and into our lives is exactly what we're supposed to be doing now. Yes, inherently these are more sad days. These are days with tragedy. But how we're supposed to be nepach miyakol simcha through what? Through Torah. So there's no more special way to deal with these days than to have siyumim and therefore for us to learn Torah together during these days. And Mirat Hashem should be a schus for each and every one of us to learn and to grow and to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's we enter into Av, who's our Father. Let's not ever forget this. And this is the Torah of our Father that we're learning. And these, therefore, are the words of our Father to teach us how to be better people. So we left off Perek Beis Mishnah Tes. Perek Beis Mishnah Tes. If you recall, last week we spoke Perek Beis Mishnah Ches, and that was the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who had 5 very holy Talmidim. And this Mishnah continues with those Talmidim. Omer lehem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them, he said to these Talmidim, Tzu'u uru, go out and see, Ezu derech yishara sheyidabek ba ha'adam. What is the straight way that every person should cling to? And what he was really asking them in our language is, what do you believe should be the fundamental midah that every person should have in their lives? To keep them straight, to keep them proper. What's like the ikr, basically? What's the main thing that everything else should stem for? What should be our biggest focus in the area, not of mitzvos, but in midos, in our character traits? So each of them suggest a different midah. Let's see what they say. And obviously for us, each of these is going to be very crucial and important. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ayin Toiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, a good eye. Rabbi Eliezer says it should be having a good eye. What does that mean to you? Who could anyone suggest what it means by having a good eye? There could be many understandings of that line, having an Ayin Tov, having a good eye. What does that mean to you? Does anyone want to suggest what you, when you hear that suggestion, what does that mean to have a good eye? Anyone? Excellent. Beautiful. To see everything in your, and seemingly I think you meant in your own life, in a positive light. To know that everything that happens to you is for a reason and it comes from Hashem and try to find the good in it. And that obviously will keep you besimcha and hopefully then also be able to allow you to serve Hashem properly, because anyone who has a sense of atzus, of sadness, and is down and upset about something is never going to be fulfilling their tafkid, their purpose, in a proper way, right? So that ayin tova definitely makes sense in the way that you suggested beautifully. It makes sense as something that could be fundamental in a foundation for many other areas of our life, right? That's one understanding of ayin tova. What else could be an ayin tova? Looking at others in good light, right? Meaning not just judging, looking at all the good that happens to us and focusing on that. That was the first possibility. But also, ayin tov could mean how would you look at others? Look for the good in others. Which basically is fundamental in the foundation of all bein adam l'chaveiro. We're only going to treat people in the proper way. Only be nice to people. Family, friends, campers, whoever it might be. If we see the good in them and we're looking for the good in them, not focusing on the bad. And that's very important. Let's be real. Each and every one of us is very complicated. Each and every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves. And there are a lot of aspects of our life, and nobody is perfect. I'll be the first to talk, I'm far from perfect. I mean, it's a Gemara says, Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz shelo yachta. There's no tzaddik that doesn't sin. It doesn't mean you're not a tzaddik or tzaddikus. Hashem doesn't expect any of us to be perfect. He expects us to be the best we can be and to strive for that. So all of us have our flaws. All of us have our lackings. And if we're going to focus and look for the bad in others, we'll see the bad in others, we're not going to be as nice we can to others. We're not going to help others as much as we can. Ayin Tov means I'm looking only for the good in others. And that's so important to all of our Ben Adam Chaveiro. Only looking for the good in other people. Focusing on the good. Don't focus on the bad. When you see something that seems bad, be down the kaschus. Look for a reason why it's really good, or at least understand that so much more of them is good, and this is one small area. Like, we all need tikkun, we all need fixing. You know, there's a halacha by tzaras. Tzaras, we know, is leprosy, is a terrible punishment when a person speaks lashon hara about another person. And the halacha is, if tzaras is on your entire body, it's definitely not tzaras. You don't have to go outside the machane. If it's on your entire body, it's only if it's a small blotch, basically. Why is that? So my friend Rabbi Aryeh Yudin, a very close friend of mine, who I teach with in DRS, and my closest friend, a very special person, he likes to share every year those parshas by tzaras. He tells over this Torah, and he says that, you know what? Why does a person speak Lashon Hara? What is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara, God forbid, which is a terrible, terrible chait, is when you see someone, you're talking about someone that's done something wrong, or you've seen something wrong, and you talk about that, and you talk about it in a way that you've summed them all up based on that small action. Because when you're talking Lashon Hara, you're really giving over an impression and talking in a way that this is what this person's all about. And only focusing on the bad and creating an imagery of the whole person based on that small little thing. So you've taken a small little thing, and that's your vision of the individual. So to me, the kenegi me, the saras is just a small area, and it creates where the whole person has to go outside, and be in solitude, away from everybody else. If it's on your whole body, then that's really fully. That's not what the sin of lashon hara is, because they're never really fully bad. There's one small thing that you're focusing on. And arav od is to have an ayin tov. Ayin tov can also mean not looking at things that are inappropriate. And obviously, that's a much bigger parsha for men than for women, as that temptation is stronger. But it's for women as well. Inappropriate is in all different areas, and not, again, in the world that we live in and the internet that is out there, there's so much that people can be watching and looking at that's not appropriate, not something a Bas Torah should be looking at. And it has an effect. It has an effect. What we look at has an effect on who we are. And if we allow ourselves to watch shows or, you know, go and surf the internet on Instagram or Facebook and all these, movie stars and what's important in their lives and what's going on in their lives, it leaves an imprint and has an effect, desensitizes us to, like, this luxurious lifestyle and this type of lifestyle and this immodesty is like, good and wonderful, and it has an effect. And what we see has an effect on who we are. So Ayin Tov is also making sure we don't look at things we shouldn't be looking at. And that's something very real. You know, Chazal bring down, it's based on Gemara and Brachos, that our neshama is mostly connected to our eyes. That's where our neshama resides. It's a very deep Torah. Our neshama is by our eyes. And therefore, what we look at affects us in the deepest of ways. It affects our ruchnius in the deepest of ways. We have to protect what we look at. I'll show you where we see this in such an incredible way. You know, by your eyes, if a small speck of dust gets in your eyes, it much bothers you, and it's terrible, right? A little, or you know, a fly flies in your eye, like in camp, that sometimes could happen, and it's terrible. You got to do everything, and you splash water in your face, and that same speck of dust, that same fly, that same touches you anywhere else, that same dust, we'll focus on the dust, that same dust, which dust is like the smallest gashmis, the smallest materialism. It touches anywhere else, you're totally fine. You're totally fine. You hardly feel it. But when it touches your eye, because your eye is most closely related to the neshama, it's so sensitive to materialism and physicality in this world, so it bothers it. That's why as well, when we cry, our tears flow from our eyes. I know if I brought up today and said, maybe when you cry it should come out of your ears, you'd say that sounds like a little weird and crazy. It is weird and crazy, don't get me wrong. But that's because of what we're used to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created our bodies that when we cry, it flows from our ears. Again, that sounds strange to us because that's not what we're used to, but he could have. You know what it is when does one cry? You know when one cries? When you're being most real. When you're most emotional, at your happiest moments or at your saddest of moments. When you're really in touch with that moment and your neshama is connected to that moment, you're really alive. We're most alive, I believe, when we're crying. We're most connected, not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual and emotional way. That's why personally, a lot of people in this world, this day and age specifically, like when they're crying, they want to immediately wipe away the tears and nobody should know that they're crying. That upsets me. Like, be real. It's okay to be real. Don't be afraid to be real. Let people see who you really are. If you're sad and you want to cry, and you should be crying, so let yourself cry. You don't have to be fake. And if you're so besimcha that tears are flowing from your face, that's awesome. Let the world see it. Be real. Don't hide who you are. Don't have to hide behind a wall what's going on in your life. Like, wear your neshama on your outside. And that's why do we cry from our eyes? Because it's connected to our neshama. So we cry when we're most emotional, we're most real, we're most in touch with our neshama. Ayin Tova, therefore, is so crucial to keep our eye in the proper place so that my neshama could be strong. One last idea in Ayin Tova, and that is it also could mean seeing Hashem in everything. The good is nothing better than Hashem. And seeing Hashem, seeing Ruchnius in everything. Seeing Hashem by your side. Seeing Hashem in everything. Hashem is every... You know that song that we all know? you know, I heard today in the dining room, I think it was today, the TC specifically, maybe more, were singing like old school Uncle Maishi, the pizza song. Was that today? I think it was today. And they were very excited. I was actually surprised all the girls knew all those words, but they remember from their youth. But you know, my favorite Uncle Maishi song that I think about all the time still today is like an old classic. Hashem is there. Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right? You all know that one, right? It's the deepest song. Because if we really lived that song and felt that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere, He's up, He's down, like, we have to see that and start seeing Hashem everywhere. One time the Baal Tanya, who was very, very sick, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shneur Zalman Vladi, and when he was very sick, the doctors came in and they wanted to make sure like he had his wherewithal. They asked him, are you able to see the floor? Do you see the floor? And he says, I don't see the floor, but I'm able to see the koyach elokis, the strength of Hashem that gives life to the floor. You know what he's saying? He saw Hashem. He didn't see just a floor. We see the floor. We see a physical floor. He saw God within the floor. He saw and understood that Hashem is b'kone hakol. He recreates the world every moment. And He's giving life to the floor. He's in the floor. If God decided this floor could cease to exist this moment, then we could sink in like Korach did. You know this table? We call the table an inanimate object that has no life. Baal Tanya talks about this in Tanya. This has life. This table has life. You know why it has life? Because there's God in it. Because God wills it to be here at this moment. If God decided this table shouldn't be here at this moment, it wouldn't be here. God wants this table to be here. Maybe some might be able to sit here and we can learn Torah together. And when you start to look around and feel this and know that Hashem is everywhere, but Ayin Tova, life is a different life. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's Ayin Tova. Okay, let's continue. Next, Rabbi Yeshua. That was only just that we just got through one. There are five different Talmidim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Remember, we're trying to find what they felt was like the fundamental midah that a person should connect to. He felt chaver tov. It's so important to be a good friend, to be a caring friend. To be a caring friend is so important because, let's be honest, our friends and our friendships have a big effect on who we are. A big effect on what's important in our life. Relationships are crucial. And we can impress upon a friend just by being who we are, how to act in a proper way, and they could on upon us. And we have to be a good friend. You know what it means to be a good friend? It's something we learned about here last summer. I don't know who was there at the time, but it could be. In a Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Aseh lecha rav, uknei lecha chaver. Some people learn that as two different ideas. Make for yourself a Rebbe and acquire a friend. But there's a vav hachibor, there's a vav that connects the two. And I once heard many years ago the explanation that the Mishnah is telling us, you know what it means to be a good friend? Aseh lecha rav, make yourself into a Rebbe, uknei lecha chaver, and you've acquired a friend. Meaning what? A true friend is also a Rebbe. I mean, some people think a friend is just someone to have a good time with. If you want to be a good friend to somebody, and you want to find good friends to you, they're people that are willing to tell you when you're doing something wrong. Willing to inspire you and help you do something right. They're not just going to go along with whatever fun's happening if it's not in your best interest or in their best interest. There are times when you have to know how to be a Rebbe within that relationship. In a sensitive, proper way. A true friend is there to help another friend grow. To help lift up another friend. And ultimately by doing that, you lift up yourself. So that's what it means to be a chaver tov, to be truly a good friend. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi is very similar, but he says a shachin tov, a good neighbor. What's the difference between a good friend and a good neighbor? So on one level, shachin tov is just, you could understand what he means, is the people that you come into contact with that aren't true friends, but in your everyday life, they happen to be living next door to you, they happen to be... So much is seen, and so much of who you are is how you interact with those people. Because maybe you pay attention and are balas chesed and care about your friends and your family. But what about your acquaintances? The people you just... Are you giving to them as well? Are you helping them grow? Are you being as nice as you could to them? And that, by the way, has an effect on all of your... Again, we saw these are fundamental on all your bein al-chayr, but also all your bein al-makum. I'm never going to serve the Ribbono Shlom properly if I don't serve other people properly. Other people that I physically come into contact with. If I can't serve them properly and I can't be good to them, I'm going to be good to the Ribbono Shlom that I don't even physically see? Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. It's a stepping stool to Hashem. So that could be what a Shachin Tov is. The Bartanura says a Shachin Tov is also someone that you could be in contact with 24/7. He's right next door to you. And I think what he means to be saying is as follows. You know, sometimes, and maybe some of you could connect to what I'm about to say, we're very nice and caring to people that we're friends with and people that we like. But then the people we're closest to, the people we live with, our own family, our siblings, our parents, who we're with 24/7, we're not as nice to them. We're not as giving to them. We don't do as much for them. We take those relationships for granted. Part of that is because we know this is unconditional love, and even if we don't treat them properly, they're going to still be good to us and come back and we'll be connected. Part of it is just the relationship is so often and so much time that it's very hard to have our A game 24/7. Maybe that's what he's saying as well. Like the people that we're constantly around, those people have to work hard to be as nice as we can towards, to help as much as we can. And that too is fundamental. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, you know what's a fundamental midah, and this is true in all our action, in all our words. Haroeh, he goes into a new world, no longer Ben Al Machaveiro, and this applies to both Ben Al Machaveiro and Ben Al Makom. Haroeh es hanolad. Someone who's able to see the consequences of his actions. So often we do things impulsively in the moment, and then we look back and wish I would have done differently. We haven't thought, what if I do this now, what consequences can come from here? And if we start to think about the consequences of our actions, we'll make better choices in the present moment. And it'll have a big effect on who we are. That's is actually a line in the Gemara in Talmud. So a wise person understands this. Haroes anolad. Rabbi Lazar Omer, and finally, the final Halagatana is Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar says, Lev Tov, to have a good heart. And we all understand, having a good heart is a foundation of all Ben Aluch Vero, of all caring, of all empathy, of all sympathy. You know, it's very beautiful. The days of Sfiras HaOmer are days that we're supposed to be working on our midos, on our character traits, on our Ben Adam L'Chavero. That's why we learn Pirkei Avos during those days. That's how we prepare for Kabbalah HaTorah. Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. I'm not going to get into it all right now. That's how we rectify the sins of the Talmidim of Akiva who didn't have proper kavod for each other, right? How many days are in Sfiras HaOmer? 49 days, right? The gematria of Lev Tov, having a good heart, is exactly 49. Because that's what we're supposed to be working on, specifically those days. But that's what we're really supposed to be working on always, to have that Lev Tov. And after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai heard all these opinions, and they're all important, but Amar Lam, he said to Tamidim, Roa Anias Divrei Elazar ben Horach, I see the most important, this last one of having a Lev Tov, Shebechlal Dvarav Divreichem. All of your ideas are found within his idea. If you have a Lev Tov, so you're going to have the Ayin Tov of looking people in the good way, and looking at yourself in a good way, and you're going to have be a Chaver Tov, and you're going to be a Shachin Tov, and even a good heart, which is emotionally sound, will be thinking about the future as well. So Lev Tov is most important. Having a good heart. Making sure we have a good heart. So now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wants to see what are the worst of midos, and these are the midos we have to obliterate. So you would think right away they're just going to be, why do we have to have what are the worst midos? The worst midos should be naturally all the opposites of what we just said. But not necessarily. We need the end of the Mishnah. But Rav Avadya Bar Tzvi explains, you might have thought all of this are midos chasidus. You know what midos chasidus is? It's like the highest level. But if you don't have this, you're still a decent person and not really so bad. So, for example, you know, to have an ayin tov, to look for the good in people is awesome. But if you don't, you still could be decent. And here we're going to see, no. These are the most important midos, but they're also the opposite, are the worst of midos. And that's what you see. Amar Lam, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them, Tzuru ezu derech ra. Now I want to see what are the bad drachim, the bad ways. Shisrachak mimenu adam, that a person should distance themselves from. And here it's just all the opposite, so we don't have to go into depth, we understand. But Eliezer Omer, ayin ra, having a bad eye, not looking to the good in others, not seeing the good within yourself, not seeing all the good that Hashem does, letting yourself look at things inappropriately, is going to be your downfall. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, chaver tov, chaver ra, I'm sorry, being a bad friend, being a bad friend, we know social pressure and peer pressure, what it can cause and bring down a person to the worst of places. Rabbi Yossi Amar Shachin Ra. Also, the different acquaintance you have can also bring that same, and being a bad person and not allowing you to have the proper ben al chaveru. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and here's an interesting one. Rabbi Shimon said, Haroas an Olan, someone who sees into the future. So you think someone who's not able to see into the future just acts impulsively, right? That's the opposite. So he says something interesting here. He says, Halova ve'ena mishalim. Someone who borrows money but doesn't pay it back. What does he mean by that? So all the Mefarshim here say, he means someone who's not able to look into the future. But he says it in this way because this is a primary example. Meaning, well, if you borrow money, you don't pay it back. You know what's going to happen in the future? Obviously, you did something wrong now. But also, no one's going to lend you money ever again because you don't pay back. So you're not looking into the future. You're not looking into the future to understand the ramifications of your actions. Now, why doesn't he just say someone who doesn't look into the future? Because there could be that one, the Mefarshim explained, that one, it could be that even if you don't look into the future, you might end up making the right decisions. So it's not really the opposite. But if you make a bad decision about the future, that's going to be your downfall. That's halova v'ena mishalim. It doesn't think, if I do this wrong, what's going to happen? Echad halova, and he says, echad halova min adam, whether you're borrowing money from people and don't pay it back. And the same is true, kalova min hamakom baruch hu. That's similar to borrowing from Hashem and not paying it back. And what would that mean to us? What would that mean to us? Borrow from Hashem? Anyone here ever borrow money from Hashem? What does it mean, borrow money from Hashem? So I'll tell you the way I understand. We borrow from Hashem every moment. We wake up in the morning. Hashem gave us back our neshama. He gave us another day of life. He gave us the ability to see, ability to hear, ability to speak. He gave us, Baruch Hashem, the ability for us this summer to be in camp and to have normalcy again after. He gives us so much. So what are we? We're borrowing that from Him in a sense. And what's our avodah? To pay Him back. How do we pay Him back? He gave us a Torah, 630 mitzvahs, tefillah, learning, mitzvahs, ben al-mechavero, being the person we're supposed to be. That's how we pay Him back. And I was helping somebody, just yesterday, I was helping somebody deal with the situation to get a son to be able to go to yeshiva next year. I don't want to give it too many details, whatever it was. Baruch Hashem, with atzlacha, I mean, halavai, all the yeshivas and seminaries will be open. We're davening. The Israeli government said, yes, we'll see what that means in 6 weeks from now, but Mirtz Hashem, it's very, very important. Baruch Hashem, the parent had a lot of words of Akar Zatov. I said to the parents, it's fine, it's a schus. The biggest Akar Zatov is just to see your son grow next year and learn and grow from this opportunity to be in yeshiva next year. That's the biggest Akar Zatov. So the Eibishter gives and gives and gives us all these abilities, all these kochos. He's loyvet to us. We have to be Mishalim. How are we Mishalim? Through our Avodas Hashem. And where does he see? He sees a pasuk that equates borrowing money from people to borrowing from Hashem. Shenemar, lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim. A rasha borrows and doesn't pay back. V'tzadik, who's someone who's a tzadik? Choinein v'noisein. Choinein v'noisein is always giving. He's always giving back. Can understand that. I was actually talking to the Rabbonu Shlomo, who's always giving back as well. But that's who a tzaddik. Tzaddik, so in this world, a tzaddik or tzaddik is always giving back. What does it mean, always giving back? How are you always giving back? When was the last time you borrowed money? You're always giving back to Hashem. You're always giving back to the Rabbonu Shlomo. Rabbi Lazar Oimer. Rabbi Lazar says, and finally, the final one, Lev Ra. Having a bad heart is the worst of midos. And you could pick up on someone with a bad heart in a moment. You know, a person that's just not a nice person, not a caring person, not a sympathetic person. It's so sad to see. It's so hard for us to want to be connected to such an individual. And again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Amr lehem roa anias divrei Elazar ben Aruch, shebichlal devarav divreichem, because all of your words are found in his words, meaning the worst of midos is having a bad heart. Which tells us something. This Mishnah has a lot of midos that we need to work on and fundamental to our avodas Hashem. But again, just remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said most important having lev tov and not having lev ra. And that tells us something. You know, we all always in focus, and it's so important, and working on our davening, and working on connection to Shabbos, and working on our tznius in so many areas. But koidem kol, before anything else, is, are we working on our midos? Are we the nicest person we could be? And the nicest person we could be doesn't just mean reactive, it means proactive as well. We're going out of our way to be there for people, caring for people, putting others before ourselves, always. Speaking properly to other people, always. Even when it might be hard. That's a lev tov. And that lev tov is the foundation to everything else we see here. And maybe if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have that lev tov, specifically during these days of Bein HaMetzarim, when we're trying to reconcile and rectify the sin of Sinas Chinam. There's no more important mida than lev tov. It's bizoicha to Gula Shlema with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.